ladder up.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 117 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Cerevich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
It is only Linda and I this week. Kellyanne is sick. Best wishes to Kellyanne. She has no voice at the moment.
Get well, Kellyanne.
Yeah, she has no voice at the moment. So it's just it's a two-woman show this week. We can cover a lot with just two of us. And one of the things that we have to talk about is that spring training games against actual opponents have begun. Baseball is like actually back. It's actually happening.
Woo!
Yes. So we've gotten to see, you know, the two-headed Cy Young monster that is Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom, both. And they both looked amazing. Max Scherzer pitched yesterday. And apparently he gave up one run against the Marlins in the first inning, in which his velocity was like 92-ish. And Mets Twitter like promptly lost its entire marbles. He's broken, season over. Like, guys, please chill.
It's the first game of spring.
Like, I mean, I think we all have a certain amount of PTSD when it comes to the Mets and like everything's the end of the universe, but he promptly after that threw four scoreless and then he was touching 96 and it was fine and he looked great
and he like struck out like everybody.
Yep, five innings, one run, five innings in his very first spring training start.
Dude's just a maniac.
I know, like, who does that? That's insane. And then to follow that up, Jacob DeGrom pitched today and looked extremely like Jacob DeGrom. You love to see it. Also striking everybody out. He threw two innings, two scoreless innings. He did give up one double to Lewis Brinson of all people who, you know, Lewis Brinson has seen a lot of DeGrom. So maybe of all people, he would be the one, even though he's on the Astros now, he spent many years with the Marlins. So he's seen Jake a lot. Jake looked like Jake. He was painting the corners. He looked really awesome.
There was that funny moment between him and Scherzer where Scherzer was like basically dared him to throw a first pitch curveball. So he said, "All right, I'll throw a first pitch curveball."
And he did.
So he did.
For a strike. Yeah, it was because Gary was like, "Is that curveball? He only threw like three of those last season." And it's like, you know, it's his fourth best pitch, but it's still elite. Like, it's
elite.
Yeah, it's wild.
They showed it, and then he looked over at the dugout and like started laughing. I'm like, okay, I already like this dynamic. I like where this is going. This can be a fun season.
Yeah, yeah, and like it's cool to think that they're constantly going to be trying to outdo each other.
Yes.
Like, we have two of the best pitchers in baseball, arguably the two best pitchers in baseball, all on the same staff, which is something else.
And I also liked in like 2018, you know, how they had to like do like a big, you know, Cy Young show when they obviously gave Jake the Cy Young. And Scherzer was like in the Bahamas. He didn't even bother showing up, like he knew Jake had it.
Right.
So it seems funny. Like there's always been like that mutual respect between the two of them. And like now they get to like actually like, you know, I don't want to say benefit from it, because I think when they were competing against each other, you know, they still try to outdo each other. But now like it's more playful and more fun, and we get to benefit. We all benefit now.
We all benefit. It's more friendly. And Max Scherzer said, like, it's fun when the New York fans are behind you instead of, you know, on the other side, which was funny.
Then another time he was like, I can't wait to hear fans telling me how much I suck again.
I hope that doesn't happen.
No, God, please.
Please, no.
It won't be New York fans this time. It'll probably be like Philly.
Yeah, Phillies. Yeah, for sure. Other notes, obviously Jake and Max are kind of the two highlights of the spring so far. But David Peterson also pitched, and he was somewhat shaky in his first outing on Sunday, but like, you know, A, like, look who we're comparing him to, and B, you know, it is the first spring training start. I know everybody like freaks out, but you know, I think it's fine. The Mets hit 3 home runs in the first inning against Josiah Gray in the very first spring training game on Saturday.
Guess who?
Yeah. Josiah Gray and the Nationals, Luis Guillorme, Dominic Smith, and our friend Nick Plummer all hit home runs against Josiah Gray. And Dominic Smith has looked awesome so far this spring. He's the official in the best shape of his life guy this spring. Keith even said it in today's broadcast about like, oh, Dominic is in the best shape I've ever seen him coming into spring training. And, he already has like 2 home runs and a double. So, looking like a strong spring for Dominic Smith, which hopefully portends well for the season.
Take it with a grain of salt because it was Martino, but he said the plan is to bring Dom, JD, and McNeil up north when the season starts. So
yeah, well,
again, it was a Martino report, but
yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I think that if the Mets were going to trade one of those guys, they probably would have already. I think that, you know, maybe if they had gotten a return that they liked the look of, they would have traded one of them already, but they clearly either are now disinclined to trade them or just don't like the returns that they're seeing, that teams are proposing to them. So, it seems like they're just standing pat for good or for bad. I do think that like they are kind of like one bat short of a decent offense. But you know, just one really, but their depth is pretty thin, especially in the outfield.
Well, I guess technically JD and Dom can play left.
More so Dom than JD. JD's a third baseman. But in a pinch, in an absolute emergency, yes. But you ideally don't want that to happen all that often.
No. Conforto's still out there.
Yeah, Conforto is still unsigned. He's basically the only major free agent still unsigned, which is interesting. My dad and I had a conversation about this recently about Scott Boras, who is very good at his job, but it's seemingly every year one Scott Boras client holds out and doesn't sign until like May. And this year that might just be Michael Conforto. Who knows?
But is there any even interest in it? Because like all the teams that seemed like they were interested in him signed somebody else. Like the Phillies signed Schwarber, the Giants signed somebody. I can't remember who the Giants signed, but it's like, who's left?
Yeah, there's really not a logical landing spot for him. I mean, not the Mets. He would fit their roster, but it's unclear what will happen. It was interesting because there was really no market for him all winter. And then there were a bunch of teams seemingly interested now that he was kind of the last game in town, but there still hasn't been any movement on it.
Oh, the Rockies, they were interested, but they're not going to spend any more money after.
No, they're done.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like the White Sox showed some interest, but I haven't heard anything since.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, Scott Boras might have overplayed his hand, but maybe not. We'll see. Meanwhile, I mean, when it comes to the Mets and their outfield depth, Starling Marte like just started swinging because he came into camp with like a sore oblique that they say is fine, but he is slightly behind everybody else. They still say that he like should be ready for opening day. But if he's not, then the Mets are in a position where you've got like Travis Jankowski or something playing.
I can't believe they have Travis Jankowski.
Yep.
He's the one that was that got tagged out at second last year.
Sure did.
That like he kept running. That was like a whole yakety sacks routine.
Yep. And he's probably going to make the Mets. Like,
oh,
like,
God.
Like, the Mets don't have a fourth. I mean, like, Dominic Smith is the fourth outfielder, yes, but they don't really have, like, a fourth outfielder guy.
Because
I mean,
clearly they just optioned, so that's out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that Nick Plummer was going to be that guy, yeah. But he was optioned. He was cut.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and he was sent, so far the spring training cuts are, as far as I can tell, Jordan Yamamoto, Thomas Cipucki, Travis Blankenhorn, Ronnie Mauricio, Mark Vientos, Khalil Lee, Nick Plummer, Patrick Mazika, and Jose Budo. There's 51 players in camp, at least as of earlier today. There might have been more cuts since I looked this up earlier today and this afternoon. But those were the cuts as of then.
Well, yeah.
So
leaves Jankowski.
And the rosters are going to be 28, we just learned, until May 1st. So, like, Jankowski almost has to make the team if it's 28 guys.
Is he a lefty or a righty?
I don't actually know that off the top of my head.
He might be a righty.
He's a lefty.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Bats left, throws right.
He's got to be below Dom. Like, I mean, does it even matter? I mean, they don't really need pinch hitters anymore, so who cares?
Yeah, right. But yeah, those are the cuts. The other news from today, like Mets news, although it's like across baseball, this is happening. Today was the deadline to settle with arbitration players. And so as of when the Mets game started this evening, the spring training game, when Jake was pitching, as of this evening, we're recording this on Tuesday evening, the Mets had reached an agreement with all their players aside from Chris Bassitt.
Who now they're taking to arbitration.
They are?
Yes.
That was reported? Dang.
That was at least the speculation, but...
Yeah, I'm
sure.
Yeah, all I had seen was a tweet from I forget who said that the Mets had agreed with all their players except Chris Bassitt. And I didn't know whether that meant like we'll find out later that they did agree with Chris Bassitt and they just took it down to the wire, or like they're going to arbitration. But I suppose they're going to arbitration with Chris Bassitt. So that's a way to start things off on the right foot with your third starter.
Come on. Like, oh, we wanted you, but really not. But we don't think you're worth that much. Like, what?
I know, right? I know. Ugh. I guess we'll see how that shakes out. But
although I am glad that they tendered a contract to Lucchese, because there was some, since he would be out with Tommy John for most of the year, but they did tender him a contract. So Lucchese, he'll be hopefully around in August.
Apparently he'll be playing for Italy in the World Baseball Classic under Mike Piazza.
Is he?
Well, the tweet was, I think it was a Decomo tweet. I can't remember who tweeted it, but someone tweeted that Mike Piazza was managing Italy for the World Baseball Classic and Trey Mancini, Orioles player, already agreed to play, and that he was trying to recruit from Mets camp, because Mike Piazza's at Mets camp. He was interviewed today during the spring training game. From Mets camp, he was trying to recruit like Joey Lucchese and Brandon Nimmo to play for Italy in the Baseball Classic.
Okay, go Joey Lucchese.
So I made, Linda, you should have seen it. I made a meme that I shared at Amazing Avenue Slack when someone posted that tweet. You know the pizza that floats in the ocean and it says sad Italian noises? I put churv over Italian, so it was a pizza floating in the ocean. It said sad churv noises.
Oh man, I'm so sad I missed that.
it's some of my best work, honestly.
Speaking of Mike Piazza, like somebody posted a video of like Jake and Scherzer messing around. It was SNY in the dugout, like they were just chatting, and then somebody goes, oh, there's Piazza. I'm like, I didn't even realize Piazza was in this video. Like,
yep,
Met great, Hall of Famer, and totally like just like unimportant in that
didn't video. Even notice him.
No, yeah. I like that's it's just the pull that Scherzer and Jake have right now.
I know, right? So speaking of players reaching arbitration, obviously one of the players that the Mets agreed with was Pete Alonso. I had a little bit of a conversation about this with Jeff and Jarrett on For All You Kids Out There. And I was thinking about it even more. You know, the Matt Olson extension that the Braves gave Matt Olson after they acquired him, because, you know, they decided not to bring back Freddie Freeman for reasons that remain a mystery to everyone except the Braves. They instead opted to trade for Matt Olson and then extend him. So they've decided that he's their first baseman of the future. And it's sort of, to me, indicative of what a Pete Alonso extension might look like, because they're very similar players, you know, but I don't know if it's very likely that the Mets will do that. They haven't really done that with any of their other players. Like, they didn't really do that with Nimmo or with Conforto, obviously. So I'm kind of wondering, because Pete Alonso is kind of the next guy who's a candidate to be extended long term. They obviously did it with Francisco Lindor, but I think that's like a completely different situation. That's a trade and extend and like a, you know, a cornerstone, like huge contract player. Alonso is probably more in the vicinity of Matt Olson. And so I'm curious if the Mets will try to do that, but the Sandy Alderson Mets have simply not done that in the past.
Well, didn't we mention this last week too? Like, this is high on life, Pete Alonso, who just might like take anything.
I know, right? Like, now would be the time when the guy is just like thankful for every day he's breathing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was just a thought I had. Like, I think that they should, obviously. Yeah. I think the Mets absolutely should extend Pete Alonso. If you think about, like, who the Mets franchise cornerstones are, like, it's Jacob deGrom, Francisco Lindor, and Pete Alonso. Like, those are the three guys. I mean, obviously, Max Scherzer is just as important as those other three, I think, as far as, like, the success of the team. But obviously, he's not a franchise cornerstone the way the others are, because he's not here long term. He's here 3 years. Because he's near the end of his career. Hopefully he's still got a lot left in him though, because the Mets are relying on that. But you know, those are the three guys. Like, the, when you think of like the current era of Mets baseball, those are the guys. They should lock down Pete long-term. He's like, you know, probably the most, like the best position player they've developed in some time.
Yeah. Probably since like, I don't know. Well, maybe Conforto.
Yeah, Conforto. Yeah.
But yeah. He didn't match like Pete.
Yeah, yeah. I want
Pete dingers.
I know, right?
Just big Pete dingers.
Conforto, when he's at his best, is a more well-rounded player than Pete Alonso. Yeah. He's like more of a five-tool type player, whereas Pete Alonso hits for power, and like that's really, you know, his tool. But you know, he's better defensively at first base than he used to be, to his credit, to the point where him being the DH is not even in the conversation. Whereas I think that if you asked any Mets fan 2 years ago, they would have said, like, if the universal DH comes to the National League, Pete Alonso would be the Mets DH. I think that most people would have thought that not even like 2-3 years ago. But it's a testament to what he's done to improve his defensive skills. So, you know, I mean, like, he's an important player to the Mets. There's no reason not to just give him the Matt Olson extension. I think that, you know, that's something that he would take.
Yeah. And like, make an effort to keep your stars. Like, I get Jake already said he's going to opt out, and you kind of have to worry about Jake right now. Like, okay, but multitask here, Sandy, multitask.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd think they would do that, but there's not really much precedent of the Alderson Mets doing it. So who knows?
I don't know if it will end up mattering, but you know, the COVID shortened season in 2020 and just like the weirdness of last year, like if Pete stays a Met, his whole career, I could see him being the all-time home run leader.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, that would be exciting to see. Like,
he's obviously the single season leader already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, puts up a few more seasons even close to that, and he's already, like, right at the top.
Yeah, and, you know, David Wright was, what, missed it by, like, 8 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, yeah, Strawberry is still the home run king, but yeah, that would be fun to have let Pete get the record.
But, and, I mean, again, Pete Alonso is more of a home run hitter than either of those guys. He just needs to have as lengthy of a career and needs to have it as a Met.
Yeah. So, just give Pete whatever he wants. He's just so earnest and just loves baseball and loves the Mets. Like, just let the poor polar bear mash for years to come and
seriously
forget about everything else.
I know. But speaking of COVID, there was more indications today that the New York City vaccine rule that we discussed last week on the podcast that would affect unvaccinated players, both on the Mets and the Yankees, is still in place as of right now. And it seems unlikely to be lifted before opening day, at least if Eric Adams is to be taken at his word. He seems very committed to sticking to this rule and keeping it in place. Because he says, because it's not just about sports, right? Like, this is businesses in general. And he was like, I talked to my business leaders and they really like this rule because it allows people to return to the workplace and feel safe. And all of that. He said that all in like a press availability today. So, you know, hello, remaining unvaccinated Mets. You don't have much time before you start missing games. We're gonna find out real quick for certain. I mean, obviously we all have our speculations and our rumors and, you know, stuff like that about who is vaccinated and who isn't, but we're about to find out real quick.
Yeah, anybody who doesn't play in New York, like, yep, it's gonna look a little suspicious.
And if, you know, and if Starling Marte, who is vaccinated, I believe, you know, maybe,
I think so.
I was trying to remember if he was one of the players who straight up said he was, but I can't remember. But like, if it, you know, Starling Marte is like a little bit delayed for opening day and certain other outfielders are not vaccinated, then the Mets are going to have a problem in the outfield.
Francis, don't you cover short and center?
Yeah. Right. Like, come on guys. All right. Just get vaccinated, please. So we don't have to worry about this.
Francisco, like, start like a new position that's like short center field, left short center.
Short field is a position in softball, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
So he's playing short field.
Short field, I think, and it might just be like, you know, like little league softball. I don't know. I thought it was a thing, but I don't know enough about softball.
I did like his answer. He goes, I'm vaccinated, so it's not my problem.
Yeah, right. I know. That was funny. Oh.
I'm playing to go, Francisco.
Yeah. It really was funny. It's just like, that's other people's problems, not my problem.
Not mine. Although it might become your problem, Francisco. You might want to talk to your
teammates. Mets don't have enough people to field the team, then it becomes his problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really the state of the Mets right now. We're just getting things ramped up for the season. It's a short spring, so everybody's affected by that. Some might be more affected than others. We'll see. We're going to start to see more of the starting staff. I think Chris Bassett's supposed to pitch the next spring training game. So we'll get our first look at him as a Met, which will be exciting. Get more and more guys in there. Oh, yeah. The other injury update I forgot to mention, James McCann was scratched from today's spring training game with a tight back. I have no idea how serious it is. Team didn't seem super concerned about it. He's going to get checked out. I think he dealt with some back tightness last season, if I'm remembering rightly. You know, this is back tightness is just like stuff that happens in your 30s.
Yeah.
And especially like the catchers, like I feel like it's just like crouching down all day.
Yeah, like you probably slept wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
or like he picked up one of his kids the wrong way. Like,
yeah, right. When you're 30. So we'll see what happens with that and if that becomes more of a serious thing. But hopefully it's just like, you know, put a heating pad on it and call it a day.
Cover Story, a new podcast by New York Magazine, is back for part two. So far, in our first season, we've investigated the underground world of psychedelic healing. Now, we're going above ground.
I kicked the door down to be in the MDMA clinical trial.
We're going to the world of labs and accredited institutions where clinical trials are testing psychedelics as a treatment for trauma.
I was really trying to communicate that, like, I was not okay.
We hear from trial participants who share what happened to them that didn't show up in the published data.
What did I say? Like, hell was inside of me and was only halfway out and it got stuck.
And we look into what happens when someone taking psychedelics dies.
None of us have ever wanted anything other than the truth of what happened to someone we love.
Check out new episodes of Cover Story, Power Trip, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Britney Spears is one of the most influential pop artists of the 21st century, but the one thing that's been given too little attention is her music. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan, and with my friend, songwriter Charlie Harding, I'm the host of Vulture's podcast, Switched on Pop, all about the making and meaning of pop music. And this month, we're breaking down Britney's classics in a four-part miniseries called Listening to Britney. Join us as we rediscover your favorite hits from Baby One More Time to Toxic and more. We'll take a deeper listen to the influences, sounds, and cultural impact of these classic pop hits. Check out Listening to Britney on Switched on Pop, wherever you get your podcasts.
In wider baseball news, we just discussed the 28-man roster, which was a thing that we learned today, that rosters will be 28 men until May 1st. We also learned that they are heaviest of size, bringing back the free runner in extra innings, which I thought we had banished to the void.
Too. Like, how can you just drop this on us, like, after spring training's already started? Like,
yes, let's please change the rules 3 weeks before the season starts.
Yeah, like, come on.
2 weeks before the season starts.
Gary calling it Manfred Man.
No, I'm definitely calling it the Manfred Man from now on. Yeah, because Gary gets very pedantic about when they call it the ghost runner.
It's
not a ghost. It's not invisible.
He's a man.
And so Gary started calling it the Manfred Man. And so I think I'm going to call it that too, because it's this perfect. Is on Rob Manfred. I do not accept this. We don't claim this. No. We don't claim
Put your
this.
Name on it, Manfred. Put
it's
your
the
name
Manfred
on it.
Man. Just heinous. It's not baseball. I hate it.
No. Like somebody said, like a pitcher could induce 2 fly balls and lose. Come on.
It's bullshit. It's the worst. It sucks. And the fans, well, the problem is that the players all like it and baseball likes it. It's only the fans that don't like it. And the fans like really don't like it.
Well, we should count. We should get a vote. Come on.
I know, right? Like, I think that the majority.
Checks and balances here, people.
I should run a Twitter poll. I should run a Twitter poll of like, do you like the Manfred Man? And I'm willing to bet it would be at least 80% no.
Yes.
I know one or two people gonna call out Green Man by name, Steve Schreiber, likes the rule for some reason, but almost nobody else does as far as the fans are concerned. And to me, the only way you can like compromise, make it happen after the 13th inning or something.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to just put it back. Although, God, like, it's so detestable.
Stupid Marlins game. Oh my God. Why is it always the Marlins?
Why is it always the Marlins?
It was the Khalil Lee game.
Dineshwe Fargas. Yep. That
yes.
game.
Yes. Well, that was just painful.
It was painful.
I mean, it was exciting, but it's also very painful.
Yeah. I hate it so much. It's the worst. I'm like, I don't know, like, I know that like the reason why the league and the players like it is because the players hate when they play like a 19 inning game and then the team is trashed for a week. Like, I get it, but I'm just like, from a fan perspective, why would you ever root for less baseball? Like, I just want more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind extra inning games that go like, you know, 15, 16 innings. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
But
if this isn't real baseball. Like, it just makes no sense.
If you're not, if you hate games that are too long, consider that you might just not like baseball. Sorry.
Baseball might not be for you. Like, you don't want less of something you like.
Like, I want a 5-hour baseball game injected into my veins. I like position players pitching. I think it's funny.
I do too.
Like, okay. Anyway. Yeah. So that's, they're doing that. And I'm pissed off about it. They're also, which they had said before, this is not a change, unlike the runner. The runner's a change, but they're doing the doubleheader is going to be 9 innings, whereas in the COVID season they were 7 innings.
See, that I could actually get behind, because I
know I'd rather have the 7-inning doubleheaders than have the extra runner.
I went to a doubleheader last year, and you know, by the time, like, in the second game, the fifth inning, you're like, oh, this is actually reasonable because it's going to be over in 2 more innings. But like, had it been like 9 innings, it'd be like, oof. Still got a lot of baseball left, but you know, especially it was a day game, it was June, it was hot. So that I can kind of see is the 7 innings. Like, if I had to, you know, make one change, that would be the one that I would keep. Because again, you're blown through your bullpen, you probably need a spot starter for the second game, who probably won't last that long. And so that to me makes more sense, because what are the more likely odds? You get a rain out or a game that goes 21 innings?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Probably the rain out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all the arguments that apply to this, like, extra runner apply to the doubleheader. Like, why? Like, if you're talking about, like, oh, I hate the long games because it screws up all our roster for a week. Like, doesn't a 9-inning doubleheader do that?
Yeah.
Too?
And you already had to schedule them because you canceled games like a dumbass.
Right, right. I mean, like, I'm fine with 9-inning doubleheaders because, like, yeah. I said, anything that's more baseball is fine by me. But I just don't get, like, why they did one thing and not the other thing. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, because they're kind of both similar arguments for, like, less strain on the roster. So I don't know. But
it always threw me off, like, when they were bringing Edwin Diaz in the 7th inning. I'm like, it's the 7th inning. Why are you bringing your closer? I'm like, oh, right, because that's the end of the game.
Because it's the last game, the last inning, yeah. It does, I mean, from the one thing that is annoying is that it does throw off all the, like, rate stats, like, yeah, the, like, Ks per 9 and all that stuff like that, yeah, or, like, some, or, like, whatever's per game. Like, it does throw that off because there's just fewer innings played in a season. When there are 7-inning doubleheaders, so you kind of have to, like, adjust the, like, rate stats for that. But I don't know. I, like, if I had my preference, I would have had 9-inning doubleheaders and no Manfred Mann. But if I had to pick one or the other, I would 100% go with the 7-inning doubleheaders over the Manfred.
Yep, same.
Man.
Yep.
But
at least that's still baseball.
Exactly.
No, played within the rules of baseball.
Exactly. It's just fewer innings. It's the same game. The Manfred Mann fundamentally, like, changes the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which I hate. I hate things that, like, I don't know. To me, like, the fundamental essence of baseball is that there's no clock.
Yes.
And I hate things that, like, push back against that, that, like, you know, try to shorten the game and, like, try to, like, hasten the end of the game. Like, I hate that.
I feel like, not to make a hockey comparison, but to make a hockey comparison, it's like they have overtime and then you only get 5 minutes and then you go to a shootout. It's like, yeah, no, still play hockey.
It is like getting closer to ending the game in a shootout. It really is getting closer to that. And everybody hates
shootouts.
Everybody hates when hockey ends in a shootout. Everyone hates when soccer ends in penalty kicks. It's a sucky way to end a game.
Yeah, like, you just played, like, a really exciting game, and then it comes down to, like, a goal, like, just
a,
like, one guy.
A bloop single, and then you win.
Yeah.
Because the runner's already on second.
Yeah, and yeah, it's, and like, you could win, like, the dumbest way possible.
It's, like, the dumb, NFL overtime rules, which are basically a coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate that they're making it closer to, like, those, like, dumb overtime rules in other sports. Like,
everybody hates.
That everybody hates. I would legit rather they start letting games end in ties.
Yeah.
Than have this extra runner.
Yeah, like, okay, so the Mets record is, like, right now it would be, like, 5-2-1. Okay, sure.
Like, obviously, you have to have, like, extra innings. Like, you'd have to have extra innings for the playoffs. And that'd be fine. But, like, I legit would rather, during the regular season, them end the game in a tie than do this extra runner thing. I hate it so much. I, like, detest it. But whatever, I'm going to have to get used to it. Just like I'm going to have to get used to the DH, which I also hate. Fine.
Oh, so how do you feel, like, speaking of, because to me this is the equivalent of a shootout. Extra innings in the All-Star game being determined by a home run derby?
That's fun to me. Because,
yeah.
Like, I like that because the All-Star game doesn't count. So
yeah.
If the All-Star game, like, cause the All-Star game used to count for home field advantage in the World Series. If it still counted for something, then that would be stupid.
Yeah.
But
just keep sending Pete out there.
Right. But since it doesn't count for anything, then I'm fine with whatever, like, weird shit they want to do in the All-Star game. I don't care. Actually, I'm in favor, like, make it as weird as possible.
Like, could you just keep sending Pete out there, or do you have to, like, go through the whole rotation?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are, because, like, in hockey, in the United States, once you go, you're done. Like, you get one chance to shoot out, and then, like, if you miss, you're done. But then in international play, you can keep sending the same guy over and over.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
TJ Oshie that time in the Olympics just kept scoring every time they sent him out. So I don't know what the rules are going to be.
In soccer, for penalty kicks in soccer, has to be different people.
Yeah.
Taking all of them. You can't have the same guy take it over and over.
If you have, like, a slugger like Pete, like, that gives you an advantage, I would think. Although it's the All-Star game, so they're probably all sluggers.
I was about to say the American League would have Nelson Cruz, but actually Nelson Cruz in the National League now. Yeah. Which is so weird.
I honestly can't think of a slugger. Aaron Judge. I don't know.
Aaron Judge.
Ohtani, maybe.
Yeah, Ohtani.
Oh, Guerrero.
Yeah, Guerrero.
Yeah, it would probably be Vlad. So then it would just come down to Vlad and Pete again.
Vlad against Pete. That'd be funny. I'm for that. I'm in favor of that because the All-Star game is the time to do silly things because it doesn't really matter. And yeah, the point is to, like, show your best stars on display and settling the game that way. It would be a fun way to do that.
And I feel like the All-Star game has been missing that silliness. Like, to me, it's just gotten boring.
Yeah. Like, it needs to be, like, really, really silly.
Yeah, like, you had, who was it who batted backwards that one time, and, like, he batted from his other side. I forget who it was. But then, like, and then, like, Torii Hunter robbed Barry Bonds, and then, like, he picked him up at second base. Like, they were out there having fun and being silly.
Was it Jesus Aguilar? Who was it that took, like, a selfie with the umpire?
Oh, yes, that's right.
During the game.
During the game stuff.
Like, inject that into my veins. That was fun.
Yeah. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't want you talking to Bryce Harper in the booth while the game is going on. Like, I want the players doing silly things themselves. Like, I don't want you forcing them to do something. I want to see the players being themselves in their element, relaxed and having fun. And not like, what do you think of, like, I don't know, whatever stupid question they asked Bryce Harper. But I'm like, and it's forced.
What's your favorite bubblegum flavor?
Exactly. Something like that. Like, just letting, like, that's not showcasing your player, because you're going to get this forced, stupid answer. But, oh, there was that one time. Who was it? It was a spring training game. Like, one of the players was mic'd up and he's like, oh, wait, that's coming my way. I got to go, fellas.
Yeah. Was that Mookie Betts? Was that Mookie Betts? I thought it was Mookie Betts.
Oh, maybe it was Betts. Yeah. Like, that's kind of fun, too. Like, when the Mets were just mic'd up, they always go viral for, like, the most wholesome reasons.
And Dom was like, can't hear you guys. Yes. That was so funny. That remains a classic.
Like, that was just Dom being Dom and like just like talking to like his, like he was telling McNeil, he's like, I can't hear you.
Yep. Yep. And he kept talking over JD trying to talk because he couldn't hear anything.
That was yes. Really, like stuff like that. Like that's what I want. Just let the players be themselves and the rest will follow. You don't need all this like gimmicky stuff.
There was, speaking of like showcasing the players, there was also kind of a discussion being had by actually both the radio booth, the time that I was listening, which was Saturday, the first spring training game, I listened to Howie and Wayne on the radio because it wasn't on TV. And today during the TV broadcast, they talked about the same thing, which is that starting next year, every team is going to play every team. They're going to change the schedule so that there's going to be fewer in division games. And the Mets are going to play every team at least once, but all the National League non-division opponents will be one series home, one series away. Like it has been, the American League will only be one series per team, either home or away. And of course, Howie being kind of the crank that he is these days, it hates this. And Gary Cohen was a little bit less cranky about it. Like Howie was like, I hate this new schedule. Gary was like, Gary was more balanced about it. He was like, I think that it waters down the in-division rivalries, which I really love. And so like, I don't like this because the point of playing the division opponents more is that you're vying for a division crown. And so it makes the division rivalries more potent when you play each other a lot in like games that matter down the stretch. If you like, you know, the Mets are like a game and a half behind their behind the Braves and they still have two more series with the Braves left, you know, like that's a big thing. Then that kind of like, you know, stokes these rivalries that are really fun in division. But at the same time, you know, baseball is moving toward the direction of trying to market its players better. And part of that is getting the fans of every team to see all the players. You know, like, I don't see Mike Trout play.
No.
I would like to see that. And I'm going to see that this year because the Mets are playing the AL West this year. So I'm going to get to see Trout and Ohtani because we're going to play the Angels. So that's going to be really fun. So like, I think like I am in favor of the schedule change to play all the teams because I like getting to see all the players.
I think, from that perspective, I like it too. Like I said, I want to see Mike Trout. And I want to show, and on the opposite side, I like showing off Jake, like, haha.
Other fan bases, like, you know, like, how often do, like, Blue Jays fans watch Jacob DeGrom, you know?
Yeah, but my biggest fear is now with the Universal DH, now you're all playing each other. My biggest fear is that they're going to do a realignment. And
they're going to get rid of the American and National Leagues.
Yeah. And do like these divisions, like in hockey where you have different divisions, like you do have like the East and West, but then you have like divisions within them. And so I have a feeling like it would be like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, the Phillies, the Orioles and the Blue Jays, which would be an awful division to be in.
Yeah. I worry about that too. If that's the outcome that it's trending toward, then I wouldn't be happy. And like, I kind of do see that, like the Universal DH and like everybody playing everybody is kind of trending toward getting rid of the American League and the National League altogether. And I don't want that.
No. I hate the Yankees enough. We're not in the same league. Like, can you imagine being in the same division as the Yankees? How insufferable that would be.
It would just be, and it would just feel wrong. Like, I don't know. It's just like the and that's true across baseball. It's not just the Mets and the Yankees, although like New York is the biggest city to have like the biggest market that has like, you know, the two teams in it, the one American League and the one National League team. But that's not like the only city that's true for. Like you've got Chicago that has the White Sox and the Cubs. And it would just be like so weird and wrong for them to be in like the same division with each other.
All the California teams.
Like, I don't like that. I like that like there's one for the big cities that have two teams. There's one American League team and one National League team. I think that that's like the like fun and the way to go.
Yeah. But and like even like, you know, divisional kind, like, or regional kind of, you know, teams, like the Orioles and the Nationals, like they're in two different leagues.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And then like Florida, you got the Marlins and you got the Rays. Like a year, like you can have one of each. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, although it was weird when I always thought it was weird when they made the 15 teams in each league, because then that necessitated interleague play every day. And it was weird because the Astros were the team that moved from the National League to the American League. And now it's like the Rangers and the Astros, the two Texas teams, are both in the American League.
Well, this is kind of how it all snowballed. It was that. So now you had the two leagues always having to play each other. So that was the first step. Now the second step was, now we all got to have the universal DH, because, you know, because you always, the American League had now had a bad pitcher and they didn't have a DH, and oh God, the horror. And now the National League has an advantage and we face them all the time and we can't do this anymore. So let's just uniform it. So now there's no, so now everybody has the DH. So now what's the next step?
Yeah.
Like no more leagues?
Yeah. And I just like I think,
what's the difference between the leagues now? What's the point? Like, why do you need different leagues now?
You kind of don't anymore, which I don't like. And like one of the things that I love about baseball is the weirdness of it, and the different rules between the different leagues was one of the things I loved about it. Like,
me too.
I wasn't ever like, I'm anti DH because I'm a fan of a National League team. I grew up with National League baseball, but like I never advocated for the American League getting rid of their DH. I always wanted the two leagues to have different rules, to keep having different rules, because I thought that was fun and weird and like very different from other sports. Yeah. And the same thing with like I just don't like things that like make things uniform and sanitized, because like, what's next? All the stadiums have to be the same dimensions, because like that's how it is in other sports. Mm-hmm. All the stadium, like the field, ice, whatever, are all the same dimensions, and in baseball it's not, and that's wacky and fun and different, and I don't want that to be taken away. And I feel like we're kind of just like trending more and more in that direction with like making the leagues exactly the same and like making everybody play each other and all that stuff.
Yeah, like it's just making everything uniform, and you're taking away my wacky baseball, and I like wacky baseball.
I know. I'm kind of just like, I'm in favor of the playing other teams more, because I like to see all the teams and all the fun players that I don't usually get to see every year. So I am in favor of it for that reason. But if it is kind of like a slippery slope, then I'm against it. If it's contributing to the slippery slope of eliminating the American League and the National League, then I am against it.
Yeah, we'll put a big asterisk on that one.
Exactly.
We're not cranks like Howie, to be clear.
We're not cranks.
No.
I'll be a crank about the runner on second for as long as I live, though. If that makes me a crank, then so be it.
I will wear that mantle.
I will. other baseball news that is less pleasant to talk about. Trevor Bauer's administrative leave keeps getting extended while baseball continues to ruminate on its decision whether to suspend him, which I don't know what there is to ruminate on at this point. They know all they need to know. But it's like what happened last season where they just keep like saying, oh, he's on administrative leave for another week. Oh, he's on administrative leave for another week. And they just keep doing that without like actually making a decision. I don't know. Maybe they'll make a decision before the season actually starts. Who can say? But in the meantime, the first sort of little tiny hint/indicator about like where the Dodgers are on this sort of came out, where Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said recently that he plans not to have Bauer for the foreseeable future, quote, if ever again, end quote, which sort of hints what might be coming, either like whether that be in the form of a lengthy suspension from Major League Baseball, or like absent that, the Dodgers just cutting him.
Yeah, you can. They do have that option.
They can. Bauer actually had an opt out in his contract after last season, which I'm sure like he didn't exercise because Well, A, there was a lockout, and I'm not even sure he could have if he wanted to. And B, you know, he's not going to opt out because he has nowhere else to go. So, you know, that's where that stands. He's still sort of in limbo from a like, you know, roster standpoint. Of course, though, he emerged out of his hidey hole to tweet about Deshaun Watson. And he made a really disgusting tweet about it that I'm not going to read. But it basically was a congratulatory tweet when Deshaun Watson got his contract from the Browns. For those of you who don't know, who are like me and don't follow other sports besides baseball, but I know about this because I have family members and a significant other who follow other sports. Deshaun Watson is an abuser who has been accused by 22 women, I think it is. It's like, he's like a lot of accusers.
And there's a bunch of civil suits too.
A bunch of civil suits against him. You know, so he's an abuser who kind of, you know, didn't the league, as far as I know, didn't take action against him. Like, didn't it investigate and just like didn't do anything to him?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So like it's kind of like if baseball doesn't suspend Bauer, it's kind of the same thing. Like, they investigated and
well,
like,
they're still like, it's ongoing because of the civil suits. So there's still a chance he might not play this year, but it's the NFL, so I'm not holding out hope.
The NFL doesn't care. And you know, the team he was on wanted to trade him. And a bunch of teams, like there were a bunch of suitors, and ultimately the Browns traded for him. And not only was that terrible on its face because they traded for an abuser, it brings back, you know, it brings back memories of the Osuna trade where they sort of like traded for an abuser on purpose. And not only that, but they like pissed off their other quarterback that they already had on their team that they had drafted. Who now wants to trade off the Browns. So it's like a whole like mess. So
speaking of, there was that whole uproar that the Astros benefited from a domestic assault case, basically. Like,
yes,
they took advantage of it. And then everybody was like, don't worry, this won't happen again. We'll make sure there'll be a rule change. And
where was that?
How many years later are we?
Yeah. Where's that rule change?
Yeah, still waiting on that rule change, man, friend.
Yeah, we don't have that around. I mean, there hasn't been as high profile a trade like that since the Osuna trade, but it feels like it's only a matter of time.
I do.
I mean, like, you know, there was Chapman as well, obviously.
The other I don't want to call him the other Ozuna, but Marcelo Ozuna.
Ozuna with a Z versus Ozuna with an S. This horrible abuser got traded for and got extended, by the way. Like, they traded like a bunch of draft picks for him and paid him a lot of money because he's, you know, because he's good at football, because he's a really good quarterback. And so they just, that trumps everything else, obviously. And so, you know, Trevor Bauer, who got his own bag, congratulated Deshaun Watson on his contract and was like, you know, truth will prevail and all that stuff. Like, oh my God, disgusting. Because it's a brotherhood and all these assholes protect each other.
Yep. And they know they can get away with it. Like, it's the same in every sport. The culture is the same in every sport.
Yep. Literally, like, the tweet, I can't remember whether, no, it was the tweet that Deshaun Watson made. The tweet that Deshaun Watson made about, like, you know, like being happy about his contract was retweeted by Trevor Bauer. And by, oh my God, why am I having a moment right now? And I can't remember his name.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. That's not who I was thinking of. But Kyle Rittenhouse.
Oh God.
And Kyle Rittenhouse. Those were that was the trifecta of retweets. So we've got Deshaun Watson, Trevor Bauer, Kyle Rittenhouse, and O.J. Simpson, the four horsemen of the we've been wronged and canceled apocalypse.
It's just the dregs of a society.
The worst. So these people all consider themselves like part of this like brotherhood who's been like wrongfully maligned by cancel.
They were canceled
or whatever, despite like being paid millions of dollars.
Cancel culture doesn't exist, people.
It really doesn't. Speaking of cancel culture doesn't exist, and the Brotherhood, you've got another example, albeit a way less high profile example and not an athlete, but Kevin Goldstein, which may be a familiar name to you folks who listen to this podcast, has accepted a special assistant to the GM position for the Twins. And this was met with like much celebration and accolades from, you know, folks on baseball and baseball Twitter, the very same folks who, you know, are very quick to decry people like Trevor Bauer and Deshaun Watson, right? But no, when it's one of the guys in the front office, one of the nerds who you loved his writing, who helped orchestrate the Ozuna trade or was in the front office, I'm sure he didn't, like, he wasn't the one writing down the particulars, right? He was head of scouting during his time with the Astros, but he was a high ranking executive in that Astros front office that did the Ozuna trade, knowing full well that they were taking advantage of a situation where a player had a domestic violence accusation against him. And, you know, he said when he was first brought on at FanGraphs, he said like, he made a big show of being like, oh, I was really uncomfortable with the Ozuna trade. Not enough to leave.
Nope.
Not enough to walk away.
Yep. You still collected your paycheck there, didn't you, buddy?
Still benefited from it.
Still won a World Series, didn't you?
And then he finally did leave after, you know, his association with the cheating scandal, of which he was one of the central names. Now, he was not one of, as he would be quick to point out, he was not one of the people officially punished for this in any way by baseball, unlike Hinch and Cora and those folks and Lunau. But he was intimately involved. And there are receipts for this. It's not just hearsay. He was intimately involved in this. So he did leave the front office after that. He called it Astro stink, as if it like wasn't his own fault. the Astro stink on me. But of course, you know, because cancel culture is not real, he was brought on by FanGraphs for a cushy writing job. He did that for a year to rehab his image. And now he has jumped back to the team side the first chance he's gotten, and no one cared and everyone moved on. the usual stuff.
Like, I don't mean to compare him to Jonah Carey, but this is how that culture just gets permeated.
Right.
Like, this is how they operate. Like, because everybody was all friends with Jonah Carey, were, oh God, they were shocked that he would do something. But when women were, but you could have talked to any woman and they said, no, the signs were all there. Like, you're just helping prove, like, the culture's never going to change because, like you said, as soon as it's your friend, everybody turns a blind eye.
Right. Exactly. Kevin Goldstein's very well liked in baseball. And like, again, you know, this is not personal. I am sure Kevin Goldstein's very good at his job. And by all accounts from people whose opinion I respect, he's very good baseball analyst, very good podcaster, et cetera. And I'm not disputing any of that, but, and obviously his crimes are not as heinous as, you know, these abusers and, you know, these sexual harassers that we're often talking about when we talk about front offices. It's the enabling of the culture and giving guys like that a chance to just, like, you know, take a year off, rehab their image, emerge again, and they get the first job that they're offered. Like, seeing these same straight white dudes as indispensable when there are so many other people, women, LGBTQ folks, people of color, you know, who are not represented at all in baseball front offices. Instead, it's just these same guys.
And, you know, there are it shouldn't be a shock when a woman gets hired. And we're like, we've talked about that before. Like, there's always that seed of doubt now in your mind. Like, is this just for show? Like, why isn't a woman the norm, and why don't they get the same second chances that these dudes do? Like, they can fail spectacularly and be rehired within a year. Like, Mickey right. Calloway got another job. Like, I don't understand why we're not given the same benefit of the doubt that, like, a generic white dude is, no matter what crimes he commits, no matter, you know, what he's involved in. It's just the same, and the culture's just not going to change, no matter how many women you hire or prop up or, you know, flaunt out there. Like, yes, I'm so happy the Mets hired Elizabeth Benn, so happy, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're still hiring Goldstein too,
right?
So, what did we accomplish here?
Exactly, and it's like he made this big show of how uncomfortable he was with the Osuna trade and all of that stuff, and it's like all of that is so clearly eyewash if you're just gonna hop back to the team side the first chance you get. Like, he was just biding his time.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly he wasn't uncomfortable enough with the culture to step aside and let someone else change it, someone with a, you know, a more broad perspective that is not the same as everybody else's in every front office. So, like, doesn't mean anything when you say stuff like that. I don't believe you.
No.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's not exactly the same parallel, but, like, I left academia in part because I was uncomfortable with the culture there, and I've not gone back. Like, I'm just, like, I'm out. Like, I don't like the way this is, and I'm not going to put up with it.
Well, and how do I know if the same situation arises, he's not going to jump on it?
Exactly.
Like, has he learned his lesson? Is he really that heartbroken over the awful situation he put himself in?
Right. I don't know. Maybe he'll invent new and better ways to cheat with the Twins. I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. I know, like,
but then if the Twins win, what punishment will they get? Like, if he does cheat with the Twins?
Yeah.
Oh, they'll lose a draft pick, the horror.
Yeah. I mean, like, unlike a lot of other people, Jared Porter, et cetera, people we've talked about in this podcast, like, Kevin Goldstein is really well-liked among, like, the baseball nerd section of Twitter that we inhabit. So, like, I'm sure I'm going to get a nasty gram about this from someone, but hate to say it, I don't really care. Sorry. I know it's your friend, but things are still bad when you're you can't take the, like, stance of, like, this stuff is bad until it's someone you like that does it.
Well, what does Dumbledore tell Neville? It's hard, like, standing. It takes
to stand up
your enemies before more courage to stand up to your friends.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. It takes a great deal of courage to stand up to your enemies. It takes a great deal more to stand up to your friends.
Yeah. So. We'll leave it at that.
But, you know, we will end the show this week with happy things, as we always do, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Linda, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, I had a better week, but I still didn't really have a walk-off win until Anthony DeComo tweeted an hour ago. Oh, actually, there's two things. He tweeted an hour ago, attention, we have kitten news. And apparently, Josh Walker found, like, a homeless kitten found its way into Josh Walker's car.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he approached his car and he heard meowing and was like, huh, that shouldn't be there. So he opened the hood, and there was a kitten in his car, and he took it to the vet. He got it all its shots, and he decided to adopt the kitten and name it Metro for the Metropolitans.
Oh my God, amazing. I love it.
There's a picture of him holding this little black and white kitten. Because he said he loves cats. He's always had cats, so he said he's taking this as a good omen that he found a cat in his car during spring training. So that was number one. And then number two is the Mets getting a team dog.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this goes back to the New York Rangers getting a dog. So I don't know who, I don't remember it ever happening before that. Like, one day they were awful So they're like, hey, we're going to adopt this team dog and train it to be a service dog. And then everybody in hockey, like every team in hockey, just decided to follow suit because, you know, you can distract angry fans with like, be like, oh, wait, puppy, can't get mad with a puppy in town. And it worked. So like every hockey team has a therapy dog that they're training, and then the dogs get adopted out and it's all very sweet. And then every other team got a new dog except for the Rangers after they all got adopted, but that's my gripe with them. Oh my God, the Kraken have a team dog named Davy Jones.
So cute.
He has his own jersey. Oh my God, he's a little husky. Oh my God. So we've been begging, us Ranger fans have been begging the Mets to get a team dog. Because like you said, like, you know, if the Mets are getting shellacked 10-1, but then they show a puppy on the screen, all of a sudden your day is that much better.
So yeah, exactly.
It's a genius marketing move that they should have done. So they finally adopted a team puppy. That's, I think it's going to end up being like a service dog for vets, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And you get to vote on the name.
Yeah. So I voted for Shay.
Same.
Yeah, it has to be Shay. I mean, my cat's name is Madison Shay Gatto. Like, Shay's just too perfect. So, and that was in the lead, I think, too.
Yeah, I think it was.
Winning by a good margin the last time I checked and I think it's a yellow lab.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, he looks like a yellow lab. So I was like, yay, we finally got a puppy.
He's so cute.
Yeah, oh my God, I hope he's at games. I want to pet the puppy.
I just looked up the photo of this kitten and holy crap, it's so tiny.
Like, I told you.
I know that baseball players are like large men, but it fits in his hand.
Yes. I forget how old they said he was because they said he wasn't chipped. So they think he was just a stray.
Maybe 8 to 10 months old. It's
yeah. He's so little. Like, oh my God, Metro. Because he was talking to his teammates and Trevor May, who we all know has Donnie, convinced him to take the cat.
Oh my God, so cute.
Trevor May is also a cat lover, which we love about Trevor May.
Yes.
So yeah, so now we have team pets.
Now I'm thinking about the story of how Donnie was lost because they thought got out, but then he was just hiding in the drywall at his house.
Oh my God, how did that even happen?
I don't know.
Poor Donnie. He was like, yeah, he was just chilling in the drywall.
I was like, what? Sir, please explain.
And he didn't say anything like, hello, I'm in the wall.
Oh my God. That was Donnie. Crazy. That was everybody one of the crazier lockout stories.
Yeah. I was so worried about Donnie. I'm like, what are they going to do? He ran away.
I know. I was like, oh, they can't find Donnie.
Yeah, oh my God, I'm about to go to Seattle and help him do a door-to-door search to find Donnie.
Literally in the wall. Cats are wild, man.
Yeah.
My walk-off win happened literally like 10 minutes before we started recording. I got an email notification that I had a package, so I ran downstairs and got it, and it was my Scherzer jersey. Yes! Yeah.
Drama has ended.
I know. You guys were all in on my drama with the Mets team store last week when I talked about it, about how I kept, like, getting the runaround from the Mets team store. Like, they were like, you can call us to order it. We'll ship it to you. Great. I like call them. They don't pick up. I emailed. They were like, great. Sounds good. We have them in stock. Call to order. I call. They don't pick up. I call multiple times. They don't pick up. And I was like, oh my God, it took me like 2 days to finally get through. And they were like, yep, we can get that for you. And I was like, yay. And so it finally arrived today and I'm so excited. I can't wait to wear it on April 8th to Nats Park because I have the tickets for that game. So
please take like the most obnoxious pictures.
Oh my God, I will. I already know my outfit is gonna be my Scherzer jersey, but I'm gonna wear it open and underneath I'm gonna wear my Manfred Sucks t-shirt.
Okay, excellent choice.
Yep, that's 100% what's happening. And I can't wait to watch Max Scherzer's Mets debut at Nationals Park in DC. I'm so excited. Ready to go. So that's my walk-off win.
I just need all the pictures.
I will take an obnoxious number. I definitely will. But while you're waiting for opening day, you can go to amazingavenue.com. We have tons of fantastic content for you. We have our season preview series that's going. We're previewing each player on the roster. And you can check out, we have threads going up for the spring training games, especially the ones that are televised. So you can come chat about the game with us, all of that stuff. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow the show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Servage.
You can subscribe to the podcast, Amazing Avenue Audio, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.